getting abused.
Oh, that's sad. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. Yeah. You know what I heard about BBLs, though?
That they stink.
Yeah. You knew where I was going with that. You was way ahead of me on that
one. I've heard multiple people say that as well. Because
basically...
stories.
Basically, because of the incisions they make, yeah. it makes it stink.
It'll be oozing.
Yeah.
Still be oozing the juices.
That's disgusting.
You're taking fat from one place and putting it in another. It's like a dead cell. It's dead.
Yeah. That's so disgusting. Why would you do that to yourself?
Yeah, you're putting dead meat into dead fat at that. It's just fat that's like rotten.
That's disgusting.
We need to think about it, moving fat from one place to another.
Let me let them know who they're listening to right now. This is WMUCFM College Park, broadcasting live from University of Maryland on 90.5 FM. They call me DJ Mars Blair. And to my right, I got the lovely The Maury Show, a.k.a. Sugar Plug. The revolution will not be televised, but it's live on your radio right now. This is Pop Culture Revolution, a.k.a. PCR. Stay tuned, y'all. We'll be right back.
Are you a victim of the campus cough or other common symptoms of a cold or sore throat? The accredited University Health Center, located right across from the Stamp Union, can be of assistance. Make an online appointment at www.myuhc.umb.edu. You can receive primary care, reproductive health care, mental health care, dental health, immunization, and much more. What are you waiting for? Schedule your next appointment now.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We're here. We're alive. In full effect.
We're alive.
We're alive. We're really, really live right now.
Can y'all hear us out there?
We're really, really live. Hey, Dad, I'm on the radio.
Put your hands up in the air if you hear us.
I don't see nobody moving with us. Yo, Maury, at what point should you stop partying, yo?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Because I fell out with a friend over this. And it was real bad. Our falling out was really, really bad over this. Because she just felt like I wasn't turning up. And I was like, you're so turnt that I have to be.
It's the way you said that, Tom. It's like, yo, you're so turnt.
You're so turnt.
Like, you're so turnt.
That.
I cannot turn all the way up to that level with you.
I have to turn down for safety reasons. You understand? Like, somebody has to be alive. You know,
somehow we have to get home.
Exactly.
Because you're so turnt. You're so lit.
Like, you know how they say that people, the drunkest people be having the best time, but they be pissing everybody off?
100%.
Like, yes.
That's a metaphor for life, by the way.
It's like you think you're turning everybody up and you're getting, you know, you're like, what? Yelling at everybody. And everybody might be looking at you like, yeah. They are pissed off. And they're like, oh my God, shut up. You know, like, then it becomes the thing of, Maury, get your friend. And I'm like, she did. You know, she having fun. She turned it up.
Look, turn down.
and then comparing it to what you used to do in college. Like, mind you, I'm coming up on my 10-year anniversary of graduating college. Like, that's crazy. But, yeah, like, we're not in college no more.
But so what age should we stop?
Finishing your 20s, okay?
By the time you hit your 30s?
When you're in your 30s, you're supposed to be lounging. There's a difference, okay? I got
a whole perspective on this, right?
All
right. Partly because I'm a DJ.
Yeah.
I feel like there should be transitions, right?
Mm-hmm.
In high school, you're doing mostly house parties, maybe under 21 clubs. You know what I mean? That's mostly what you're partaking of, kicking kickbacks at people's houses when their parents ain't home. You know, that's what you're doing in high school. College, you're doing the keggers, the beer pong parties. You might got a fake ID to get into the local college bar.
We was at the club.
You know, you might, yeah, you might be 18 and up clubs.
You went to college because maybe you went to Baltimore, Morgan, maybe you went to the clubs. You know,
no.
In Miami, so where are the clubs?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you might get to the 18 and over clubs. That was definitely going to include that. Free before 11, yeah. 18 and over clubs.
Girls got to be 18, guys 21.
Yeah, all that. Thank you for adding that. Absolutely. you know, you're in the club now, you know, you got you're an adult, you know what I mean? All that good stuff, you know what I'm saying? Then by the time you're 21, you're full-fledged in the club, yeah. You're buying tables, maybe you've got a little cash from somewhere, maybe you got a little inheritance from something, you got a little settlement check from something, you know, whatever, you got a little extra cash, you're feeling good because you're 21 and you got some paper, you know what I'm saying, your peoples have money, because that's the, or you might be hustling, who knows what you're doing.
Yeah.
So 21, you got some bread, you in the club balling, you know what I mean? That's all 21 through 30. By the time you hit 30, you got to tone it down. No more big clubs. No more OC, stuff like that. You got to find the grown and sexy spots.
Yeah.
Like the lounges, the rooftop parties, exactly. The day parties, the brunches. You know what I mean? Something where you can get home at a reasonable hour.
Come on now.
You don't want to stay all the way till 3 o'clock, probably.
And I'm not missing work.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah,
we can't afford to be missing
work. We're not going out on a Wednesday night and being and missing work on Thursday because we can't get up. Back in our 20s, we could go out till 3 on Wednesday, sleep in the car, wash our face real quick, and go to work at 7 o'clock.
That's why I had a friend. That's why we stopped being friends. It would be stuff like that. It would be like, all right, you got our tickets. We're going. I'm like, do you see that this thing says doors don't even open at 11? Till 11, like it's not over till 3 in the morning. I gotta work. I gotta be to work at 5:30.
Cause we got responsibilities.
We go to the club and then we go. No, we don't. I haven't done that in a long time. Even when I was doing that, I had friends who would miss work, and I'd be like, "I'm girl, bye. I gotta go to work."
We got responsibilities and bills and ish, man. We're not missing work or being sleepy.
Nobody's missing work.
We're not falling asleep at work to go party.
No.
I'm not going to be at my desk with my head nodding because I went out the night before. That's
so
crazy.
Get it all out your system now. If you're yeah. It's 40s because it's
partying ain't that crucial. By the time you hit 35, 40, you're going out sparingly, if that. It's a special occasion. It's somebody's birthday.
I was going to say, yeah.
You know, some you're taking your lady out for the anniversary. Maybe y'all just want to feel young again. So y'all go out. But y'all probably going to go in at 10 and leave by 11, 12.
And probably not going to a club. Like, yeah. You're probably going to a 30 and over.
You're going
like,
someplace grown and sexy. Yeah. And you're going to come in at 10 and leave at like 11, 12. You know, you're not going to be out there until like 3
actually,
o'clock.
That sounds amazing.
And then.
That sounds like my type of thing. Like, let's just pop in.
And then when you get even older than that, your 40s and 50s, it's strictly weddings, birthday parties that where they rented out a spot with older people, you know, older age crowds.
Yeah.
Maybe your fraternity or sorority's throwing a party for the older age crowd. And it's like, you got to get dressed up in themes and stuff like, oh, the denim party or the all black party.
Well,
or
you
the.
You got to be in community. I think once you start getting into community.
It's a community thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can start doing your line dancing. All the married couples get together. And okay, that's when the turn-ups happen.
It's something you would bring your wife or your husband to or your partner or whoever you're with. It's not like we're looking for singles at this point. You know, it's a family type thing. It's a. That's the level you're on when you're in your 40s, 50s, and 60s. 50s and 60s especially. That's like my mother-in-law. That's where she's at. She loves to go out, but she's a big-time AKA, so it's always some AKA thing. And she brings her husband with her.
Yeah.
You know, shout out Uncle Phil. We call him Uncle Phil.
Yeah.
You know, he's a tall guy, played basketball. And they party together, and they're always out and about, but it's always some grown thing like that. You know what I mean? They're not just in the club.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which is crazy.
Ain't nobody trying to be in the club no more. Yeah. I mean, maybe for a pop out in your 30s, maybe a pop out here and there, or like you know, I think I went last year because one of my friends was here and she just wanted to go somewhere. We always just go to 12 Stories because it's right there after. And anytime we're in the Wharf, we go to 12 Stories.
Yeah.
Or is that Navy Yard or a Wharf?
Even that's too much for me. That's Wharf. At this stage,
12 Stories is chill.
Still too much for me. Yeah. It's too many. It's always packed in there. The last time I went,
it can be a little packed.
It was really packed. And it just felt like there was a lot of going on. I need mine, like, medium crowded. Okay. I don't want it to be fully crowded.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it just felt like this was the scene. And I was like, I don't want to be on the scene no more.
So
I don't
what do you do now? Because, like, women, we like to dance. When I go out, it's because I want to dance. I want to get a little drink and dance. But like,
let me tell you the secret for that.
Because now you're not chasing the women.
Exactly. Like, we don't go out. Like, we go out with our women.
All right, yeah.
So we're not going out to seek women. Which is the main activity when we're younger and single. We're literally going out on a hunt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now it's like we're going out with our women. If we go out with the guys, it's really rare. it's for a reason. Like, I have a lot of friends who are DJs because I'm a DJ.
Yeah.
So we're going to see a DJ we like or something like that. Or let's check out this new DJ. We heard he's good. Let's see if he's really the sauce, or if he's not, we can clown him the whole time while we watching him. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
So that
for
type
sport. You that, go out for sport.
Yes, that type of thing. Or we might go out to watch the game at a bar.
Okay, yeah. That
you makes know what
sense.
I'm saying? Like, for my birthday, that's what we did because I'm grown.
Yeah.
For my 40th birthday, I was like, I was literally just having this conversation with Jay Hayes. Shout out Jay Hayes, old Hip Hop Corner co-host. I literally just having this conversation with him right before I came here. Like, we grown, man. We don't like partying like that anymore. You know, my 40th birthday, I did not want to go party like that. I was like, what do I want to do?
Yeah.
So I really thought about it. I recognized that the Commanders were playing the Ravens on my birthday.
Mm.
I was like, I love the Commanders. I love watching football. Yeah. Ravens are my second favorite team.
Okay.
Let's go to a really good bar that's known for having a big screen.
Yeah.
And watch the game with the fellas.
Where'd you go?
We went to Walters.
Where's that at?
It's in the Navy Yard.
Okay. My mom's a football. She's going to go to any bar.
That is a really good sports bar, I have to say.
It's at Navy Yard, you said?
Navy Yard. Yeah, right by National Stadium.
Okay.
Yeah, so we was like 10, 12 deep. We just watched the game. We lost, but we had a good time. Then we hit a couple lounges afterwards. Very grown-ish, yo.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a rooftop lounge. What did I just say? Rooftop. Then we went to a grown and sexy lounge. It was all 30 and up in there, 25, 30 and up. And then we just had a couple drinks, and we rolled out, went home early. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I went back to my wife where I wanted to be,
okay.
Yo.
Okay, that's where most people want to be. ain't nothing out here.
Nothing out here for you. I'm trying. I be trying to tell these fools there's nothing out here for you.
No.
Like, you know, she's out there. I really be thinking it's better to just go online.
I don't know.
I think if you're really looking, just go online, yo. Go find a dating app you like.
That's
and go
what
online.
I said, realizing that your man was scrolling for looking for a HOE and he found you.
Nah, that's not. He may have actually been looking for a relationship, though.
No, it's just a joke. Like, he's scrolling. I just think of like that, like. Yeah.
No.
My shorty hit me up online on Facebook. He claimed he knew me before, but I'm like, no, you didn't. He's like, I did know you. I remembered you from high school. I'm like, no, you didn't. But, yeah, but I be thinking that all the time. I'm like, what were you just scrolling? You were just scrolling and you see me. He was like, who's this girl? Who's this
it
girl?
It is a funny thought. I get your point.
Like, you'll be like,
it's like you just scrolling and then you like,
oh. And then you watch their habits, how they be online anyway, and you be like, ooh, how'd I take the bait?
Because I had a whole scheme online, yo.
See?
I'm not going to go over it again. I've been over it before. But I told you before me and my wife met before we met online. We didn't realize it till we was in our relationship.
Oh, you did say that. Yeah.
Yeah, we was like, yo, we met out when I was out.
I've heard that before, though. I hear that quite often, that people didn't know they matched with somebody before, too.
No, not even match. We met in person.
Okay.
Like, I was DJing at this lounge.
Wow.
In D.C. It was my first gig where I was headlining, as a matter of fact. And I was about to go on. They had the opener up before me. And I was talking to her in the corner by the bar, and we had a good rap. You know what I'm saying?
You remember talking to her? Wow.
I do remember talking to her. Let me tell you why I never forgot her. There's a reason I never forgot her. So I'm talking to her. I felt really good energy. You know, I remember really thinking, like, man, I really like this girl. I was like, yo, I got to go DJ.
You're like, oh, whatever. Yeah.
I got to go DJ. I hope you stick around. And, you know, and I went. And I'm DJing. I'm watching her out the corner of my eye. Like, she's nodding to the music. She's having a good time. Then she had to leave. She left me a napkin with her middle name on it, which I don't want to share on the air.
Yeah.
And her number, and she kissed it with lipstick.
Oh, my gosh.
And the
gosh.
Napkin. And I saved that. Yeah. I saved that napkin.
Such a Leo.
I saved that napkin for years.
Oh my god!
You know what I mean? And then I was like, then it dawned on me, like, that was you. You know, in the middle of our relationship. And then I remember somebody actually made me throw away that napkin. You know who, by the way? You don't know that she
okay.
was a girl. Yeah. I was one of my girlfriends. Yeah. Found the napkin and maybe.
Wow. Look at the overlap. Fate. Look at fate. You never know. Don't let your girlfriend keep you from your wife. Don't let your boyfriend keep you from your husband.
Yeah, but the funny thing is I found her later, though.
No, that's why I'd be like, that's so faded.
Yeah, like, 100%.
Yeah, that's actually really cool.
Yeah, so. And my dad.
You made you throw away the
The funny thing is, I'm my dad's son because my dad has a similar story where he met my wife and then met her again later by fate.
Okay.
where they were both professors at Farabe College in Sierra Leone.
Okay.
But my dad was married at the time, yeah, and they were just friends.
Yeah, okay.
Him and his wife got divorced later, and he moved to Boston to get his degree, his PhD.
Yeah.
And my mom was getting her PhD at Harvard, and they saw each other at a Boston library after all those years at an African students' party. And they're like, hey, what's up, event? And they're like, hey, what's going on? And they reconnected.
I'm so trash because I'm like, look at me. I already got a man. I'm talking about something. Wow, I wonder if somebody else is going to pop up. I already know. Like, stop being greedy.
Look, is he the man or is he not? I mean, that's the question.
Well,
then.
Look at your story. It's like, don't let your boyfriend keep you from your... Let me know.
Oh,
you
whoa.
You
better hope he's not listening around right now.
Nah. You know I joke. I'm just saying.
Just joshing. Well, just joshing.
It's just a topic on a radio show.
So, I mean, along that same line of questioning, what's the general age of maturity for both men and women?
You remember when you told me men don't mature until 38?
Something like that.
And then I met a 38-year-old, and he was the devil.
I know that's when I matured. It wasn't until age 38.
And he was the devil. Okay.
Oh, no, that's not good.
I meet a lot of men, even when I was like 25, dating 30-year-olds. I think around this 30, 31, 32 is when they start making that transition from boy to a man. And it seems like it should be happen earlier. But I think once they finally hit 30, they're like looking at the things in their life. And like, especially for men, because it's not easy. It's not totally easy to be a man. Like,
it's actually kind of hard, to be honest, but...
Yeah. And so, especially when you've been doing things in your 20s that, you know, you're so used to doing, and it's... Whether it has or has not been working for you, it's just what you've been doing. So, to take a step away from that, like, to really uproot your whole life, usually it takes some type of, like, either a divine encounter or, like, some life-changing moment happens where you gotta like become a man now.
That happened in my case. Yeah, I agree with that. I had a divine encounter, life changing moment, both, you know, all in one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what changed me. I'm not gonna keep. I can't keep telling that story. So y'all gonna have to find it in the old podcast or something like that. Y'all gotta just listen to all the old podcasts and see where I talked about it.
Women, you know, when you start decentering men, I think when you stop being so boy crazy. And you're just like, all right, I want to focus on me.
Same thing for men. When you stop chasing women.
Yeah.
And you start focusing on bettering yourself and making yourself the best man you could be, you attract that woman. She comes to you. And it doesn't even become about her anymore. It becomes about being your best self.
Mm-hmm.
And then building with her when you find her and y'all becoming the best team and the best couple, best family.
You know how I was so into, like, the pimping season and all that, and it's just like, wow, that was a time. That was an era. But now I watch that stuff online now, and I just scroll past. I'd be like, whatever. Yeah. Y'all be talking about I got to charge a man $1,000 to bit, like.
I was just talking about that with somebody today. Like,
I'm like, he was saying a girl
literally told him, like, you guys pay $1,000 just to talk to me, yo. And she really thought she was going to get it, too.
Yeah, like, it's just like, and I've been there, so I'm like, you know, those type of things don't even, like, speak to me anymore.
We had a whole conversation about this today at work, and it's like, y'all women got to understand, a real man not finna pay you up front, yo. It's just not happening. Like, I'll just stop talking. I know personally, I just immediately block you, you know? And it's like, don't even ask me for any type of provisions until you're actually my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been together, and we have a title. Then you can start hitting me up like, oh, I need help with this and that. I'll be like, all right, you done proven yourself to me. I done proven myself to you. We're building something. You're going to be my wife possibly. I can start helping you out with some things. But until then, we're still just talking, getting to know each other. So don't do all that. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I just remember one time, the audacity. Like, I met this girl at the Popeyes, right? Now, I done told this story before. I'll tell it again. Met this girl.
Yeah.
I met this girl at the Popeyes.
Yeah.
And she was bad as hell, right? She was in tall, in shape, but she had the booty, the everything. She had everything you would want, pretty face. I was like, oh, man. So I was like, let me talk to this girl. So I went up to her, started rapping to her. I'm like, oh, it's going good. Oh, you know, I must be on point today. And then, like, I bought her Popeyes and everything like a gentleman, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I'll see you later. I'm going to give you a call. We're going to go out for drinks, blah, blah. Like, bet. She's smiling at me. Like, bet. I was like, yeah, I got a good one. I lied to you not. Had to be less than 5 minutes later. I'm in my car, you know, contemplating eating this Popeyes. And then she going to hit me up in the text like, hey, it was really nice meeting you. Quick question. Can you help me out with my phone bill real quick?
Yeah, no. She thought she was going for it just because you bought her the Popeyes. She wanted to see what else.
She was trying to run it up real quick.
Yeah, but it's like, you can't. That's obviously not genuine.
But let me tell you the exchange, though. Because then this is the real exchange in text. And if I still had the text, I'd prove it. I'd post it right now. I was like, how much is your phone bill? She was like, $93. I was like, so, okay, what you going to do for this money? And she's like, what you mean what I'm going to do? I was like, I said, what you going to do for this cash? And she's like, what type of girl do you think I am? I'm like, what type of guy do you think I am? You think I just be paying people money off the break like that? And she's like, but she's like, a man is supposed to provide. I said, look, shorty. Maybe you should find a man who will. And I could click. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I had a guy who used to say that all the time when we were actually dating. And he was like, if you were in my possession, I'm like, I thought I was in your possession. Like, I thought I was. Like, what do you mean?
You know what I'm saying?
Like, you know what, you too. I had to leave him alone. Because I'm like, you're too flip-floppy. When it's time for you to do something, then you want to be single. When it's time for you to be, when you need something, then you want it to be a relationship. Like, no.
Honestly, you got to understand me. I love the free women, yo. You are, woman, thou art loosed. You could go do what you want. Feel free, because you're not my problem now. I love to do that to women. Like, you start tripping on me, like, go have it. Go find a man who will do everything you want.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I am delivered from that. Like, I just want to be out of the game.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm cool, yo. Like, I don't got the time or the energy, yo. You go find
him. I'm over that. I'm just so, delivered. Just past that point in my life. Like,
because there's some women who really be out here trying to run it up on the first conversation. And I think women need to start understanding that's inappropriate and that's rude and it's disrespectful.
And like, you're setting yourself up for a very dangerous man. Like,
that too, because the dude who's willing to do that is crazy.
I seen that on Twitter too. They're like, y'all have to understand that men who do these things for you in the first 2 days are very unhinged. Like, there's a storm coming.
100%. Eventually, they're going to go upside your head or throw you off a balcony or something. You know? And look at the flip side, right? My wife, on our first date, you know, I shared a lot about her. I should probably stop doing that, but whatever. It's a podcast. On our first date, we had a fire conversation, really vibing, great connection, great everything. She bossed up on me and was like, you know what? I want to take you out on the second date. I was like, what? And I was like, yeah, wherever you want to go, I want to take you out. I was like, yo, I'm so turned on right now. That's not what I said, but that's what I thought in my head. Because it's like, yo, this is so crazy. No girl's ever taking me out on a date.
Men are so easy. I promise.
And then she took me out. We went to this little African restaurant. I didn't run it up. I didn't just say, like, Maestro's or Ruth Chris or something. I was like, nah, let's go to this little African restaurant and introduce you to my culture.
Yeah.
She appreciated that. We went for some drinks down the street, you know, at this little lounge, you know, nothing crazy. And she paid for the whole thing. And now I run it up. Whatever she wants. She could call me right now and say, brr, Thomas, let me get this. She going to get it.
Listen, I know how it go. I know the game now. You know what I did on our first day? I paid for our drinks. Because I had a drink before he got there. And then I was like, and then when he got there, he ordered a drink. And the lady was like, we got to close the tab, or you want to keep it open? I was like, let me close the tab and pay for the drinks.
Yeah.
And then you got food. Child, fast forward. Now, if I need something, even his family will help me. You understand? So it's like,
you got to give to receive. Yeah. You got to give respect to get respect. Even in the male-female dynamic, you know, men are supposed to provide, but women can be givers as well. Women don't always need to be receiving everything.
And men are so easy. Just get them some Ritas, and then you'll have, like...
Exactly!
We're
so used to chicks from Popeyes trying to run it up. When somebody tries to be nice to us, we're like, oh, shoot, she a keeper.
Yeah, that's exactly. You know,
that's exactly what's going to happen. So try it out.
Unless they're too used to that. Unless they're pimps for real and are used to like
that is the flip side. That's the flip
that
side.
Is. And I almost got caught up in that until I'm like, why would I pay your bills and not pay mine? That don't make. I'm not.
Because there are some guys who we don't. There are some guys who we don't refer to as men, who will really be straight up bums playing Xbox on your couch and smoking up all your weed and not paying for nothing and be happy to do that. You don't want those guys. Kick those guys to the curb immediately.
And some of them don't even look bummy. Some of them you would think they're that, you know, that guy. Like, they're him. Like, you would think he's him whole time. It's like a whole bunch of different women paying his bills. Like, he goes through his Rolodex just of the women he's keep playing with.
Yeah, he does. The women are a source of income for him.
Yeah, it's sick.
Like, he's a beggar, you know what I mean? It's weird. It's very weird.
It is very, very, very
It's very,
very
not masculine. It goes against nature for real. It's very weird. Real men don't understand it. Like, I can never understand that mentality, yo.
It's trifling.
I work too hard for this bull crap. You know what I'm saying? Where did I hear that? I was going with a movie line for that one. I can't remember where it's from.
Speaking of movies, y'all went to go see Sinners.
Yes, we did.
And I saw you say that it was overrated. And I said, wow. I can't even say happy anniversary to this post because I wanted to talk. I was like, wow. I was going to say happy anniversary, but wow. And I just backspaced the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I was like, they went in there hating.
Let's analyze it. Analyze
go
it.
Ahead.
So, first of all, let's be fair. There was a lot of hype going into this movie.
See, I knew you second weekers this is
the most hype I ever seen into any movie in a very long time.
Because a million people had already seen it.
Yeah. So, that kind of was going against the movie's favor. Because automatically when something's overhyped, it's hard to live up to it. That being said, I knew there was a lot of hype. So I brought my expectations down. And said, let me keep an open mind. Yeah. Let me keep an open mind. I really tried to be as objective as I could and keep an open mind. There's a few. Let me talk about what I didn't like first. We're going the opposite of like a workshop class. We'll talk about what we didn't like first.
All right.
First of all, I thought the beginning was a little too slow.
Okay.
If we're talking greatest movie of all time, it can't feel slow. It's got to be, you got me from start to finish. You got me all the way through. That's an A-plus movie. You know what I mean? Like, my favorite movie of all time, Gladiator, had me from start to finish.
The new one?
No, the old one. The second one wasn't that good, if you ask me.
I didn't see it yet. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, the second one was just like a C.
With Denzel?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Denzel was, that's probably Denzel's worst movie, actually.
Really?
Well, Denzel's worst role.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's Denzel's worst role, unfortunately. Because he was like acting like Training Day back in olden times, and it was just weird. Like, he don't fit in his... In this atmosphere.
Yeah.
Like, they would have been...
Not Roman Training Day. Like,
Roman Alonzo.
Alonzo.
You be made be. You can't do this to me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he was acting like that guy.
No, now I gotta go watch this.
And, like, it is very awkward. Like, they would have been better off casting Idris Elba or something like that.
Mm.
That's what me and my wife both agreed. Idris Elba would have been perfect for his role. But whatever.
I gotta go see this.
So back to Sinners. What was I saying? It was a little slow. It's got to grab you from start to finish, like Gladiators to grab you from start to finish. Another one of my favorite movies, the whole Dark Knight series, you know, with Batman.
Okay, yeah.
They grab you from start to finish, and you're gripped at the edge of your seat the whole time.
Oh, no.
You don't feel like looking at your phone, like what's going on. Like, you're just gripped. You know what I mean? So anyway, there's that part. But it did pick up, obviously, when the whole vampire crap started. It picked all the way up. But then that whole scene when they went to the different eras of music while he was singing, we both thought that was awkward, man.
We left during the credits, and I told my mom. I was like, see, I told you everybody said stay for the credits.
Yeah, not that part, though.
What do you mean the different eras?
Like when the blues singer was singing the song, and they had the different dancers come out, and the different eras of music were shown. Like, they had DJing. They had all types of stuff. That was in the middle of the movie.
Maybe I went to the bathroom.
Yeah, that was in the middle of the movie when they were in the juke joint.
Okay.
The Sammy started singing his song, and they had the different eras of music come out. They had different regions of the world come out and start dancing. It's like they traveled around the world through space and time to different eras and places of music and show how it all came from the blues. That was the whole point of that.
Yeah, I think I went to the bathroom on that.
Yeah, so we thought that was awkward, man, that whole scene. And it's like, yo, what are you doing right now? This feels weird. Because me and her looked at each other. Me and my wife always look at each other at the same time. We were like, looked at each other like, what is that?
Like, y'all are funny. Right.
Like, you know what I mean? So that was weird.
Like, you're trying to make it too too conscious. Like, too, like...
And it's too deliberate.
Yeah.
It's just too in your face. Over heavy, too heavy-handed is the word.
Yeah,
too heavy-handed.
Because they say it on Family Guy, but he got it from another thing where it's like you tried to over-deliver the point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
definitely what happened in that case. So
it doesn't live up to it because, yeah, it didn't need to be said. Like, yeah.
So those were the two main drawbacks. Was that how it was slow to start, and that whole scene was kind of weird. But other than that, we liked it. It wasn't terrible. Like, Michael B. Jordan was the highlight because he killed that joint.
Yeah,
his acting was A1. Yeah. I hope he gets nominated for something for it because he both sides, both twins, he killed both roles. And that must have been hard. I wonder if he got paid double. Crazy work by Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, one's a sweetheart and one's the bad boy.
Yeah, you know. And what we thought was the whole thing was a metaphor for how white people appropriate black culture.
Because
the white people were bloodsuckers, the vampires sucking the life out of it. You know, and then also about the dichotomy between black music of one side is evil, another side is positive, because, you know, it's evil, it's the devil's music, like his dad, the preacher, saying it's the devil's music. And on the other side, they said at the end of the movie, which you probably missed, they said, they came back to the future, where Sammy was at, and he said, you know, that he thought he was going to kill them, but he just gave them a tip on the table, $200, gave him a tip. Stack and the white chick gave him a tip and left. And he said, that was the best day of my life. Was it the same for you? He said, yeah, it was.
Oh, wow.
And he said, you know, at least at that point in time, when we was in that juke joint, we felt free.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say, now you have eternal life. But hey, that's a thing. I just wow! Look at that! Look what I just did. Because as vampires, now you have eternal life. But that's like the opposite of like Sammy, who his dad wanted him to get saved. You understand?
Yeah, yeah.
To have eternal life, and that was another thing. Like the metaphors between hoodoo versus like Christianity.
Yeah.
As well too, because it's like his dad is trying to he come in like they said he come in all bloody and tore up from the flow up, and his dad uses it as a moment to like edify his church.
Yeah, and he was supposed to put down the guitar, but he kept going.
Mm-hmm.
And I could relate to Sammy so much because I come from a strict family, a strict African family. Like, anybody who knows my dad coming to the house, there's two channels on the TV. It's one or two channels 99% of the time, either the Catholic channel, which is most of the time, or CNN. My dad is very religious, goes to church every week, goes to confession, talks to the priest. Like, he's very avid Christian, Catholic. Like, we got pictures of the Pope around the house.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
Did they choose a new Pope?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
We should look that up, but I think we would have heard that, though, if they did.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, he lives the Christianity, too. Like, he's very giving, gives to various charities. He gives a lot of money to our village back home in Ghana to help people with scholarships and church and hospitals and all that. So he's a very giving person. Just an ultimate, to me, he's my hero for real.
But
very strict guy growing up. And it's like, I want to be a DJ. He ain't like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And even now, he still convinces me to stop DJing. You know what I mean? Like, when are you going to stop type thing? And it's like, I'm never going to stop. But even then, I've had that crisis of conscience before where it's like, what am I doing is wrong. The Catholic guilt in me for being raised Catholic, like, this is wrong. I remember there was a time I deleted all my music off my laptop. Like,
oh, wow.
Like, thousands of songs.
You were really convicted.
Like, thousands of songs. Like, I'm done with this. I'm never doing it again. And then I'm downloading everything back, spending all that money to get it all back, you know, because, you know, and there's been multiple times. And then more recently, a few years ago, I was DJing in this strip club, getting pretty decent money, steady bread from DJing in this strip club every night of the week. I was their main DJ, and I was like, yo, I can't do this no more. My faith won't allow me to DJ in a venue like this.
That's a very dark life, though.
It is.
The nightlife is very dark. So
it is.
You're probably really fighting demons for real.
You got to understand, I was fighting demons. Mm-hmm. That's real life. I was fighting demons. Lions and Tigers, Tigers and Bears. Oh my! Like they in there. Like I was DJing in drug dealer clubs where people sneak guns in, sneak knives in, people trying to kill you. I literally got assaulted in the club. I had a whole court case. It was crazy. People were trying to kill me. I was getting death threats.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Like it gets bad. So it's like I had to be like, yo, I had to just make a transition from what type of clubs I would DJ and what crowd I would be DJing around.
Yeah.
To stop that from happening again. And I did that, you know. So now it was a certain type of venue or a certain type of crowd. I'm not even going to be present. I'm too grown.
Yeah.
To even deal with that nonsense. You know what I'm saying?
No, listen, I understand.
But the point I'm making is I've had many crises of conscience, but I'm like, you saw at the end, Sammy was like 80 years old. He was still playing. I was like, I'm going to be DJing until I'm 100. Like, I don't know how to stop, you know, but part of me wants to be that good Christian boy that makes his dad happy. And I kind of am, but.
But you know what? It's not like those things aren't in the Bible. It doesn't say like don't. You gotta look at the outside of it. It's like you cannot let the demons dwell in you. So if you're gonna be, the thing is, you cannot place yourself around evil. So like you say, if you're gonna do like a DJ a wedding or whatever, you know, like
yeah,
that's a beautiful thing.
That's a positive thing.
Yeah, but if you're gonna be doing like strip clubs, there's probably demonic activity. Like you know, there's some sinning going on, and that's what you gotta look at. It's like where sin is thriving. That's where you're going to see the demons dancing, okay? And it's easy for them to get an access point to you because you're just in it, like in any little thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even being offended is an access point because that's not a God. Like being offended, being scared, being all of that. All the bad stuff is not a God. Anxiety is not a God. Worrying is not a God. You know, like you said, you're worrying, okay, am I going to make it out alive tonight? You know, like you said, there's drug dealers that are making me anxious. Like people coming in with guns. Even that, it's like, okay, now you might start moving different just because.
Yeah, it's not worth it at the end of the day to DJ in those type of venues. So when you reach a level of maturity, realize being cool and being the cool DJ at the cool spot and even getting paid is not worth all that. You can get paid somewhere else, get paid more, in fact. God will bless you more DJing somewhere besides
and
that.
He will.
That's the funny thing about it. I got paid way more DJing outside those clubs than in those clubs.
Yeah.
So, and he rewarded me for making those decisions. My career just got bigger. My name just got bigger when I left those places.
Yeah.
You know?
God be one, you're full. Yes. It's a hard hustle.
Yeah, but that's how I related to Sammy. But I think, like I said, the whole thing was just like a metaphor for how whites appropriated the culture, even how maybe Asians appropriated, because you know that Asian chick is like, let them in. Let them come in.
That was a thing because they were letting, now they done burnt down the black businesses, but let the Asians start thriving in their businesses. So they were giving the Asians the business loans and all that. So that's why to this day you still see the Asians in the black neighborhoods because they were letting them in, but were taken away from, like, they wouldn't let us have nothing, but they would let the Asians come into it.
Yeah, exactly. So they were basically making them complicit in what happened in that moment.
Yeah.
For what happened to the culture.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it's about the whole industry and how mafia it is. And how they were controlling what, you know, blacks could do with their music. Like how, you know, how the guy who sold them the barn and set them up in the first place.
Yes.
You know, how teaching them how.
And knew you were going to come back and try to kill them the next day.
How the industry.
After you took their money.
Yeah, like how the industry sets up artists and things like that.
Knowing you just set them up to die.
Yeah, exactly. And it's how we're setting up black people to die with the poisonous music we give them to revel in and enjoy and everything like that. We're setting up black people for their own demise. You know what I'm saying? So there's a whole lot of metaphors and similes, imagery.
Why did they even let them in? That's the part I don't
get. I get it because she said let them come in. That's what allowed them to come in when the Asian chick said that. Because all you have to do is invite them in. So once you do that, they can come in.
But they were already prepared for it. You know, like, they were getting all their guns together and ready to go.
But there was too many of them. They had, like, 6 or 7 people inside the building, and they had 30 of them balanced outside.
But they couldn't get in until you invited them.
Yeah, she did.
That's the stupid part.
That was her fault. That was the whole point. They did that on purpose to show how the Asian people were complicit in the robbing of the culture.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? At least that's how I see it. Because they have the one Asian lady, the only one talking about, let them come in. And like, sold us out, just like everybody else. You know what I mean?
Okay. I can see it. Shout out to your analysis.
Yeah, yeah. Remember, I'm an English major. This is all we did in class, this type of stuff. I'm an American Studies major at that. We did the same thing in every class, bringing down movies and TV shows and papers and
shit. Like, all books. You had to do was wait it out.
Yeah.
But I guess you don't know anything about vampires, so.
They knew. She just got anxious because her daughter was outside and her husband was already taken. So they thought, she thought they were going to go get her daughter. So she was like, I need to do something. And she was so fraught with anxiety. In a moment of anxiety, she just said what she said.
Watch your mouth.
And she broke down, you know, which is still a weakness. And she caused all them dudes to turn into vampires and die.
And you see that way you invite the vampires in? Like, literally,
another great point. I didn't even realize. You got to invite them in.
Yeah.
You got to engage with it to be a part of your life.
Yeah.
So if you don't want that poisonous music, you don't invite it in.
And think about how people act weird. Like, you know how some of the characters are like, they're like, well, you were already inside. Why are you trying to come back, you know?
Yeah.
Now they come back acting different.
Yeah.
There's so many weird,
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so many things that happen.
You knew. I think everybody who was a sinner, low-key sinners, everybody who was a sinner became a vampire.
Everybody was a sinner.
But the worst sinners. Like, because the lady who cheated on her husband, the black lady cheated on her
husband. Oh, they were all cheating on their daggone husbands in there. Like, they said, where's your husbands? That's a good point, because it's like, they said, where are y'all husbands? Because both of y'all was giving it up.
Stack was definitely evil. That white girl was cheating on her husband. She was evil. She became a vampire. The drunkard, he's a drunkard, so he became a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And notice the witch doctor lady, she got bit, but he killed her before she could become a vampire. Mm-hmm. So he saved her from becoming one. You see what I'm saying?
That's just because she over there doing hoodoo.
Yeah, she was absolved.
Which is a sin.
Yeah, big sin, though. You're right. So, that actually undercuts my argument, but that's a good one. But in the eyes of the movie, some people who are not Christian, she might be seen as a good person, depending on what you believe.
Depending on what you believe. That's kind of the conversation that's been having, like the hoodoo versus the Christianity. Because, you know, they keep saying that's our ancestry.
Yeah, so Smoke and Sammy were the only survivors, for real. And then Smoke ends up getting killed in the end by the white people.
Smoke could have saved himself, okay?
How?
I feel like he had a chance to live. But he wanted to just, like, he gave up because he wanted to go. He had the vision of him being with his baby. And what's her name?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
I feel like he could have fought on if he wanted to. But he didn't. He wanted freedom. He didn't want to be alone without his brother, and he lost his baby, and he lost his girl. Like,
That sex scene was wild too, yo. The one in the witch doctor's house. I was like, yo, y'all gotta chill, man. They gotta chill, yo. I don't love about that. I don't think we need sex scenes in movies anymore, yo.
No, we really don't.
We don't need it. They're like, if you want to see that, you could watch porn. Like, we don't need it in a movie. It doesn't add anything.
It actually really doesn't.
It actually makes it weirder. Like, it just changes the energy. It makes it awkward. Like, that's what I thought watching it. Like, yo, we don't need this. You could just cut it.
That's true.
You could just really cut to the next scene, yo. Like, straight up. You know?
Yeah, because my mom definitely was like, close your eyes. And I was like, please shut up.
Because at this point, any sex scene just feels gratuitous.
Yeah.
I remember I was watching the new Nicole Kidman movie, Baby Girl. And there's a sex scene with her to start the movie. I'm like, yo, you starting with this, yo? You can't bring us in any other way? And it's like, and she's walking out down the hallway, her naked butt showing. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
I don't need to see Nicole Kidman's naked butt.
I got a lot of movies to catch up on.
And it's a lot going on, man. I'm like, all right. I feel like as a guy, a lot of guys are going to be like, oh, you're being lame right now, blah, blah, blah. I'm a grown man. Like, I done seen that. I don't need to see that in a movie, yo.
I'm cool. No. It is very awkward. I want to go see it with my mom, too, so.
See what?
Sinners.
Oh, wow. That's definitely awkward next year.
That's what I said. She was definitely like, close your eyes. She makes everything even more
awkward. I definitely would not want to see that next to my dad.
I was like, shut up. Yeah, no.
I got to still cover my wife's eyes when we watch violent movies. If it gets too violent, I got to cover her eyes. She don't like seeing that stuff.
Wow. I'm like that with scary movies. Like, I'm not good. I'm jumping all the time. Covering my eyes the whole movie.
I randomly just thought of the most random scary movie I've ever seen. I think it's called Mama or something like that.
That sounds familiar.
Where is this lady locked in a basement or something, locked in a basement of a house, and she's killing people who come by and locking them in the basement, and she's, like, breastfeeding them.
What? Okay, no.
And she's this weird freak-looking creature, and she breastfeeds them before she kills them. It was just so weird.
Who made this up?
It's the weirdest movie I've ever seen. And, like, this, and then towards the end, it's like, this woman would not die, and she was chasing the girl, and she was trying to kill her so many times. She would not die, and finally she killed her. I was like, oh, my God.
How did she end up killing her?
I don't even remember, but she finally died. I'm going to say she fell off the roof or something like that.
Oh, gosh.
She fell off a high building or something, I think. But it's like, yo, she does not want to die. But it's like, this is where we at right now. See what I'm saying? Like, that's the point I'm trying to make. It's, like, gratuitous. Like, I don't want to see this lady's bare breasts, breastfeeding people, all dirt.
Gosh.
The dirty ass body didn't take a shower.
That's what they put out into the airwaves now, you know, in the Hollywood for everybody to see.
It's crazy, yo. Let's get into these headlines, man. You heard that Denzel's new movie coming out with Spike Lee?
No, does he?
Yeah, Highest to Lowest. ASAP Rocky's in it. Ice Spice is in it.
What? No, I don't. What is this about? What is this movie about? Now?
I don't know. There's just they only have the first trailer out right now, and they don't say what it's about in the trailer. But it's you know, Jeffrey Wright is in it. You know, he's a legendary actor. It looks like it's about the music industry, which is why he incorporated rappers.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You thought I was feeling you?
Not wrong much. Look, I think it's time to wrap up the show. I'm about to play some music.
All right.
What should I play? I've been playing Benny the Butcher all week since the album just dropped, but Neo got no cleans, I'm pretty sure. Let's double check. Benny the Butcher.
It's looking all explicit.
Let me see if they got a double of the album. Nope, they only got the one dirty album.
One dirty
album. All explicits. Nice try, DJ Boss Player. You know who else has all dirties and no cleans? Logic don't have no clean songs on here.
Really?
You don't have singles like that. I don't know who to play. We gonna play some Catronata.
I was wondering if that was a man or a woman. I'm bad with it. I see, because I know the girl song. So he's just a DJ.
Producer.
Wasn't there a rapper named Catronata?
Nah, he's just a producer size DJ. He's the only one named with that name. Let's play girl then, since you talked about it. Girl. See if they got a clean. There we go. We'll be back to shout out and sign off. Stay tuned.
You're my girl, and of laughter.
Yeah, all right, that wraps it up. We're up this evening. You got any shout-outs, Maury?
Shout-out to guys. Shout-out to D.C. I'm coming to y'all this week, Sugar Plug Live. Free to all the dogs. That's it.
Shout-out to God. Shout-out to my wife, JoJo. Yeah, free the dogs, man. You know what I'm saying? Shout-out to Spike Lee for making a new movie with Denzel. Shout-out to Shadur Sanders. Shout out to all my strong black brothers out there and my beautifully strong black sisters. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Peace.
Sale.